It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health on Transformation Talk Radio. And as always, I'm thrilled that everyone is joining in, that you all are here and listening and really interested in creating money in a more conscious way, because that's what this show is all about. So what do I mean by creating money more consciously? For those of you who perhaps are new, here's what I mean by that. When we are creating money consciously, we're really connected to money at a soul level. We really are understanding the what soul, source, divine understands about money, and that is that it's an unlimited resource and that we all have access to it and that we can create it in whatever amounts that we want. And as you can kind of start to feel, when you're creating from that understanding, you have this ability to create something that's lasting. When we're creating in a more unconscious place, we end up creating out of our own kind of money wounds, our past money pains, things where we're feeling really limited or scared or worried or any of the plethora of things that could go along with money. And so we end up in a place that doesn't feel very good with money, and we don't have as much of it in our bank accounts or wherever it is that we want to have it. So I teach this through the soul money relationship. And again, if you're brand new, just a real quick primer, right? The soul money relationship has three aspects. We have our relationship with ourself, we have our relationship with the divine, and we have our relationship with the actual physical energy of money, that money that's going into our bank accounts, that money that we can count. And last show, we started a really great conversation around being more comfortable with money and making decisions based on our own intuition. And this week's show is going to build from there. I'm so excited about our guest today, and I want to lay just a little bit of a foundation, and then I will introduce her to you. So one of the things that I notice when I am talking to my clients or even friends around the actual physical energy of money, that tangible energy of money, is there's a real sensation of push-pull, right? So there's I'd like to be able to pay my mortgage. I'd like to be able to retire. I'd love to be able to travel. And I know that money is really important, but I'm a person of service. So if I'm a person of service, isn't it better that I just focus on my clients? Isn't it better that I just focus on doing my work and then the money can follow me, right? Because otherwise, maybe I'm a little bit greedy. Maybe I can't really say that I'm of service. Well, sometimes that works, but more often than not, we end up in a place where we're not having that money conversation. We're not valuing what it is that we're putting out. We're not able to strongly step in and receive an equal exchange. And there's a lot of under-earning that happens here, which is why I am thrilled that Patty Block is joining us today to have a conversation. I'm going to let her do most of her introduction. But the thing that I want to say about why I'm so excited is that Patty has seen the struggle through the work that she's done for years, both personally and in business, and has worked really hard, particularly with women, to understand how to have that pricing conversation, how to to really get comfortable with that numbers and the value so that you can really have that stream of revenue coming through. And she's also a really strong believer that as women learn how to do this, learn how to bring more money in, that there are countless benefits to not just us as individuals, but us as a society. And that is a side conversation, Maddie, that we could have. But I'm so delighted that you're here. Thank you for joining.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Wonderful. So you have a statistic in your material that says that, and I'm just jumping right in. I said I was going to let you introduce yourself, but I'm just going to jump in and then maybe we can weave in your history through this, okay? That you have a statistic that says that 82% of women-owned businesses make less than $100,000 a year, even though the women who are running those businesses are relying on them for primary income. Can you share a little bit with me about what that stat means to you and why it's so important to be doing the work that you're doing?
Sure. And I will tell you, I was shocked when I first saw that statistic. And it also really made me think about what is happening. If women are relying on their revenue as their primary source of income, which many women are, including myself, then why is it that we are feeling stuck, that our revenue comes in wild swings, or we kind of wonder, when is the next client coming? When is the next project coming? And there's a lot of doubt and fear underneath that. So I started my company in 2006. And so I've had quite a long time to watch what's been happening, to observe it, to get feedback, to do market research. And I started hearing the same things from my clients and my colleagues. And again, I focus on women business owners that are experts in their fields. So a lot of people in professional services, lots of specialty consultants, those are the type of people I work with. So there's no supply chain. There's nothing on which to base your pricing. It's kind of you put a finger in the air and you test to see, or you have these limiting beliefs, which are, this is what the market will bear, or I'm pricing similarly to my competitors. And unless you've done extensive market research, currently, not 2 years old, but current market research, you really don't have that information. So then you're playing a guessing game. And as women, we undervalue ourselves and we underprice our services. So that's what I started seeing that was so pervasive. We're undervaluing ourselves, we're underpricing, and we're shortchanging not just ourselves and our companies, but everyone around us. Our staff, that means we can't pay our staff very well. It means maybe we don't have as much to support our families, our communities. Women are very generous, and we do a lot in terms of philanthropy. But if you're not bringing in steady revenue and you haven't dealt with that fear, then you're very unlikely to be able to communicate or to give as much in your community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So why is it that you think that women are undervaluing?
That's a super deep question. And part of it is, I think it's the way we're raised. In my generation, and I'm just turned 60. So, and I'm actually pretty excited about that.
Yeah. So, lots of wisdom, right? Lots of wisdom.
and in my generation, which is the end of the baby boomers, women were not raised to be breadwinners. Mm-hmm. And I know I wasn't. And even though I was the first of my siblings to get an advanced degree, my parents always expected I would get married and have children, raise a family, and that was all I needed to do, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And that was not, I do have to say, that was very motivating for me to go in the opposite direction. Now, I did get married. I did raise a family, and I have three fabulous kids. However, I also had an early divorce. And I was 35 years old, divorced with three little kids. My youngest was 2 years old at that time. And we always think, I think, again, we're raised to think that life is a straight line. And it never is. And mine hasn't been. So the path that I've taken and the wisdom that I've acquired, sometimes through hard experiences, all of that applies in what I do when I'm helping women business owners in particular to grow and scale their companies. And in my view, it starts with pricing. Mm-hmm. So those dynamics, I've dealt with a lot of the same issues that my clients are dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to get to pricing in just a second. But I'm wondering too, in terms of the mindset, to go just another layer deeper here, because, and I'm wondering what your opinion is based on your, you know, on your wisdom. And that is, you know, that there's a, so women not really being raised to be primary breadwinners. You know, that's shifting and changing, I think, in today's times, but I still think there's this pervasive sense of women don't, you know, that glass ceiling is still very true, right? Whether somebody's salary, women's salaries, you know, women are typically underpriced in whatever market they're in, whether they're earning it or not. And so I think that people can go one of two ways, right? One can be sort of this apologetic, like, well, you know, and not consciously, I'm not saying that people are, you know, are stepping out and actually saying this, but it's what we feel, right? That gets in the way, sort of feeling like, okay, there's a little bit of an apology. I'm here, I'm making money. Right? In that sort of way. Or there's this real sense of being a bull in a china shop, like, forget it. I'm shattering that ceiling no matter what. And yet there's still that sense of, but maybe I don't. But there's that sense of like overdoing it, right? Like you're just literally working yourself to the bone because you're going to do it no matter what. And I think each of the ends of those spectrums really creates issues. Would you agree?
I would. Let me use myself as an example of that. So I had a company many years ago focused on political consulting and lobbying. And the way that company came about is that I had been volunteering in that environment for years since I was in high school. And people started offering to pay me. I had no idea what to charge. I had no sales experience. It was very, and I will say a lot of women start their companies based on someone asked them to do something or work on a project or, and so we may start as an accidental entrepreneur. So because of that, we may feel a little apologetic because we used to do this work either for less money or in my case as a volunteer. When I focus on the political consulting, my biggest dilemma in building that company was that my revenue was tied to the election cycle. So much like a tax accountant, where most of their revenue comes in during tax season, well, that's what would happen for me too. And I'm based in Houston, Texas. So our legislature meets every 2 years. And the election cycle, of course, is staggered. So that caused problems for me in my business. So one of the strategies I came up with was to add lobbying. And I had been doing lobbying for quite some time, but again, as a volunteer. So now people were offering to pay me to organize events, do political fundraising, and to lobby. And when I got past the feeling apologetic for what I was charging, and charging at a better level and starting to realize what other people were charging, especially my male counterparts. And they were just, especially the lobbyists who were making tons and tons of money. So understanding that dynamic, I became I felt more empowered. And I was a very rare commodity because I was a woman in a man's world, and there were very, very few women lobbyists. So that gave me some leverage because I had a different perspective than my male counterparts. And so there were lots of good things that came of that. But you're right, there is that sense of I'm here to serve, and maybe I shouldn't be charging so much. When you understand that that is a method to protect yourself and to deal with your own fears, and you can approach that, in my case, by learning everything I could learn and talking to other women business owners and figuring out the path forward for myself. But I have to say, if there were resources to help me do that, I didn't know how to find them and I didn't know who to trust. And that is a huge, huge issue for everybody, certainly for women, is knowing who to trust. And that motivated me when I started this company to be that resource for other women business owners, because I understand very deeply how vulnerable we are when we start, especially when we start talking about money, but even when we're talking about how we hire, who we hire, how we manage people, how we provide our service. All of those things that we're talking about are very ingrained in who we are as people. And because of that, we often get burned. And I have talked to countless business owners who have had terrible experiences, and sometimes with business coaches, sometimes with marketing professionals. So it's a wide variety of terrible experiences, but it makes us very gun shy and we don't know who to trust. So that's part of my mission, is to be that resource for other women business owners and to help them understand how to price for value, for what their real value is, and how to understand that at a deep level, and then how to communicate that. So it's a very much a process. In my view, it's not like you can snap your fingers and tomorrow you'll feel better about money. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Absolutely. It's an evolutionary process. And I think that many people are in business. You described earlier about sort of being this accidental entrepreneur, right? I firmly believe that I'm in that camp as well. I never even crossed my mind that that was what I was going to do, but I ended up with some services that people were asking for. So here we are, right? And trust is hugely important in these areas where we feel vulnerable. So let's chat a little bit about pricing. And if you were to start to have a conversation with someone about pricing, you've mentioned value pricing a couple of times in our conversation now. So I'm curious about that. So if you were to, like I said, if you were to have a beginning conversation with someone around pricing, what are the first things that somebody needs to think about? Or, I'll leave it to you. What are some of those first pieces to be able to have a really strong conversation about pricing?
You mentioned it at the beginning of the show today, and that is your relationship with money. And that is where I start when I'm helping someone. And I do that in a couple different ways. I do that in private consulting, one-on-one. I also do it through a program that I have called value-driven pricing. And what we start with is your relationship with money. And thinking back to when you were a child, when did you first have money? When did you first earn money? What did that mean to you, and how did you use it? And how was money handled in your household? And really analyzing. And some of the stories that come from that are startling and vulnerable and important. They're very, very important, because in most cases, we haven't ever thought about that. So I want the focus to be on what has your experience been? And how has that affected how you think and feel about money right now? From there, we then work on their mindset. And that is, again, it's a process of understanding So I'll give you an example of one of the exercises that I think is very powerful. And I use this a lot. And that is, imagine the most recent time that you found the right resource at the right moment for the right price. And how did you feel about that? So close your eyes and imagine, how did it feel? And then bottle those feelings. And think about what your bottle looks like. So mine is purple, because everything in my life is purple and it's my brand color. So my bottle is a beautiful glass bottle. It's real. It actually is in my bedroom and it's hand painted. And it was a gift from one of my employees many, many years ago. And when you bottle those feelings, the goal is to be able to recall those feelings later. And what I often talk about is, it's not, quote, what you're worth. It's not putting a price on your head. That's not at all what we're doing when I teach how to price. What I'm focused on is, how do you build value in the mind of your ideal buyer? Who is your ideal buyer? And how do you communicate in such a way that they understand the value that you bring? And that's really the focus of what I teach.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I want to interrupt you there, because you said something, and this is something that you talked about when we initially had our time together before the podcast, and then I saw it and I forgot it. And then I saw it again in the quiz that you offer for people. And that is knowing the difference between your ideal client and your ideal buyer. And can you speak to that a little bit? Because, you know, a lot of people, marketing experts, they take us through all the exercises about who's your ideal client and speak to your ideal client. And then you bring in this concept of ideal buyer. So tell me a little bit more about that.
So often for women, sell is a four-letter word. We don't want to talk about selling.
Right.
And we don't want to really do it. We tend to avoid those types of conversations. They're very uncomfortable. So one of the things that I recognized pretty early in this process of building my company, of helping women business owners, was that if you're avoiding sales, obviously your revenue is going to be up and down. And there are ways to address that. What I recommend is that you start with pricing. Because you can learn 100 different ways to sell your service or product, but if it's not priced correctly, appropriately, with profit built in, that's reflecting the real value, then it doesn't really matter what you're selling. You're never going to be profitable. So I take it back to pricing as the linchpin for everything else. So one of the things that I noticed early on is that people didn't want to talk about buyers. But we have to talk about buyers, because they're not your clients until you've taken them on a journey and given them this opportunity to buy from you. And so I actually have two programs that fit together like a puzzle. I have value-driven pricing and painless selling to ideal buyers. So to your question specifically, an ideal buyer is who you're looking for to start the conversation. And if they proceed through this journey, and if they become a client, then it's your responsibility to help them be an ideal client. That's by setting and managing expectations. Clients are unformed in some ways when they first come to you. So when you're working with a client, it's your responsibility to help your client become ideal. So I'll give you an example. If you have set business hours, you're 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, but you have a client who consistently calls you on the weekend, and that's really bothering you as the business owner, then you have a responsibility to talk to your client, to say, we have standard business hours. And while I understand the urgency that you're feeling, I would really appreciate if you could send me an email instead of calling me, or try and keep it to business hours. But certainly if there's something urgent that comes up, please let me know. There's nothing confrontational about that. There's nothing wrong with that. And yet, we often feel like that's conflict. Mm-hmm. And so we're, in most cases, in like 98% of cases, we're not going to say anything because we don't want to offend. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. We don't want anyone to feel as though we're not there for them, that we're not serving their needs. So again, that can really work against us. So what I teach is when you've addressed your pricing and you're on the path now of pricing for your real value, you've identified your ideal buyer, you've taken them on this journey so that they're ready to buy. Once they become a client, then you set and manage those expectations so that they know how to be an ideal client. And there really is a distinction in my mind. And I think I understand why the marketing companies approach it in that way, but for me, it doesn't resonate.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. That's really fascinating. And I think it's so important to recognize that somebody isn't a client until they've purchased from you. And it isn't, you know, you think about from the marketing perspective, thinking about ideal clients, creating packages or content, right, that's going to speak to that person who is maybe your ideal match to the message that you're getting, right? Somebody's going to really benefit so that when they do become a client, that they are happy. But inserting this piece about buying first is super important. If I could recommend to people who are listening, let's put an asterisk and highlight, right? If you're in a book, this is a really important piece to add to the puzzle. So I'd like to go back to this idea about value. Because there, and this is, again, this is a longer conversation that we could have. There's a lot of people out there saying, you know, charge what you're worth. And if you're not charging enough, you're not honoring your worth. And that has always irritated me. But because money and our worth are independent of each other. And I don't, you know, and to further the conversation by saying charge what you're worth intertwines money and self-esteem in a way that's really not healthy. But on the other hand, people do have to understand the value. So if you could say a little bit about what you mean by with that value piece.
Sure. So it's not what you think your value is. And it certainly is not about worth for exactly the reason you mentioned. And again, early in this journey, I kept hearing people say that it's what you're worth. And I kept saying, no, it's really not. It's your value in the mind of the ideal buyer. So there are two ways to approach that. When somebody comes to you by referral, there is already value in their mind, because they trust the referral source or they wouldn't be talking to you. So there's some inherent value just by that act of referring someone. But the second piece of that is the way you as the business owner can communicate value and understanding. So again, it's not what I believe my value is. It's what my clients believe it is. It's what my buyers believe it is. And sometimes we misunderstand that. We think, here's what we often think. We think the value's in the deliverables, right? I'm going to provide you a report or an Excel spreadsheet or a marketing plan or whatever it happens to be. That is how we're raised, is that the value is in the deliverables. And I will share with you, it is not. The reason it's not is because there are 5 million other people out there who can do a spreadsheet or a marketing plan. That is not where your value is. Your value is in the way you think, your life experience, what you bring to your clients, and in how you communicate that. So it may be in your team, how you've structured your team. There are so many things, and probably super important, but often forgotten, your contacts. Your network is a tremendous value. You have spent years vetting those people and getting to know them and trusting them. So when you make introductions and connections, that is tremendous value to your clients. So all of those things wrapped up then become the value proposition that you can start talking about. And as women, we tend not to talk about that because we feel like it's bragging. And I will mention, as a Texas citizen, that we have a saying here, which is, it's not bragging if it's true.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind when you feel self-conscious, that you feel like you're bragging. You're really not. You're communicating the value.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Patty, we could continue to talk, I'm sure, for hours, and you clearly have so much to add to this conversation. So I have two things that I'd like to ask before we wrap up. The first is, how do people find you? Clearly in the show notes, we'll have your website and all of that, but what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
So it's simple to connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Patty Block, Patty with a Y. And I really enjoy connecting with people there. You're also welcome to reach out through my website, which is theblockgroup.net. And you said you had a second question?
Well, I do. So what is, if there's one thing that you could leave people with, and I don't know, if it's not bragging if it's true, maybe that should have been the end of the conversation, just bing, bang, boom. But if there's one thing that you want to leave the listeners with, what do you want to share? What's one thing that you'd love for them to take away from this conversation?
So the first step in any change is awareness. And you might be aware that your pricing is off, but you don't know how to fix it. And that is what I teach. So what I recommend is that you take the quiz that I offer, which is called myrevenueroadblocks.com. And if you go to that website, one of the things that it reveals is what's in your way. What are the roadblocks that are keeping you from having the revenue levels that you want and having that consistency that you want? So I would encourage you to go to myrevenueroadblocks.com, take the free quiz, and it will then give you a report with information of what your score means and what you can be thinking about. So that's another great takeaway that I would love to share with your audience.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your generosity today, the generosity of your time, the generosity of all of the information that you shared. I don't know if you can see all my notes that I've made just personally, and this is our second conversation. So I'm really going to encourage all the listeners to go ahead and take the quiz. I have taken it. It was eye-opening in a couple of different places. And so again, thank you so much. And so now we will go ahead and take a quick break. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance, and I am your host, Jennifer Bloom. We will be back after a few moments.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, B-L-O-O-M-E.com.
Have you ever felt Like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path toward the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ornedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit natashaornedo.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at susandolce.com
and leondyer.com.
Get empowered.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, everyone. We're back again. This is Soul Wisdom Abundance, and I am Jennifer Bloom, your host. What a fantastic first segment. Patty Block had quite a lot of information to share with us, and I would be really curious, actually, to hear what your takeaways are. So if you want to drop me an email at jennifer@jenniferbloom.com or over on Instagram at soul.abundance, let me know what you thought and what your key takeaways were from her conversation. What I would like to do in the second half of today's show is to take you through an exercise. Let's weave in some of the information that Patty was sharing, specifically about value and about some of the early history of our money relationship, as well as what I spoke about at the beginning, which was this idea of being of service, right? And if I'm of service and I want to focus on money too, what does that really look like? How can I balance those two? And it's really important, you know, you think about pricing and value and all of those pieces, and they feel very external, right? It feels very much like I should be able to price something, and it doesn't really matter what my mindset is. As long as I've got it priced correctly, things are going to sell. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily always work out. And that's because of the energetics behind things. If you are in a place where you're saying, to come back to that idea, right, of I'm of service, and it's hard to think about pricing, or it feels greedy, or I'm a little bit embarrassed, or I don't know that if I'm doing it right, so I'm just going to focus on delivering and the money will take care of itself. Remember that money doesn't have any free will, right? You are the one who is in command of that money relationship. So if you're sort of, you know, and for those of you who are just listening as opposed to seeing the video, right? If you put your hands over your face, right? If it's like, I don't really want to deal with the money part of this. I just want to do my job, do it really well, and I won't have to worry about it, right? You are taking a back seat in that money relationship. So the more that you can find a way to truly be in command of your relationship in a way that feels good, right? We don't have to be the person who's out there and pushing and selling hard and being that character, you know, the caricature of a used sales carman. You used car salesman, if I can say that word right. Right? We can very much be in our integrity and you know, if you're following the some of the things that Patty was talking about in terms of knowing your value and knowing all those pieces about you and really focusing on that value and being and as you're in that space of value, truly allowing yourself to say, I have value and I am allowing money to flow to match that. That's where we want to be. Right? Not some place where we're labeling ourselves as greedy, not some place where we're labeling ourselves as being overly aggressive because we're thinking about the money, you know, not worrying about what's going to come up, worrying that money is going to change us in some fundamental way, right? Those are some of the things that can be behind the scenes when we don't really want to have the money conversation. So, part of stepping into commanding that money relationship is to be able to say that I have a high level of expectation that money is flowing my direction. And we can modify that by saying, as I sit in my value, right, as I truly honor and acknowledge the value that I bring to the table, not necessarily in just the deliverables, but in who I am. In my uniqueness, because I have this real sense of my value, I expect money to flow. That higher the level of expectation, the more you are energetically aligning for money to flow to you. And the more you are going to have inspiration and wisdom to touch into to say, yes, this is what my pricing is going to be. All right. So let's do a quick exercise here. If you're someplace where you can close your eyes, I'm going to invite you to do that and take a nice deep breath. And the first thing we're going to do is just simply rate where you are on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 is, I don't believe this next statement that I'm going to give you at all. It's a complete 0. And 10 is yes, absolutely, without a doubt. So the statement is, let's start here. I expect money to come to me easily and effortlessly. I expect money to come to me easily and effortlessly. So rank that on a scale of 0 to 10. And the next statement is, I know my value, 0 to 10. Okay. And just notice there's no right, no wrong number to have, just knowing that the higher that you are, the more things can flow from an energetic perspective. Okay. All right, so then let's do the second half of this exercise. And let's look specifically at this idea of either I'm focusing on my service or I'm focusing on the money. I think there's so many of us who think that it has to be one way or the other. Okay, so again, close your eyes if you can. Take a nice deep breath. We're going to ask divine intelligence to integrate body and soul and align your earth star and your heaven star. You don't have to understand any of those words other than to simply ask for them to happen. And next, I'm going to invite you to imagine that in front of you is one of those old-fashioned scales, right? The one that has a center support and an arm, and then you've got a container on either side, right? And when it has equal amounts in it, it balances, right? So in your mind's eye, imagine that you can put attention to service in one of those containers and focus on money on the other side. And just notice how does it balance out regarding your specific focus? Are you more focused on service? Or are you more focused on the dollars? Okay, and just take a moment to let that sink in. And then let's take those items out of the containers. And into the containers on one side, I'm going to invite you to place a focus on your customers receiving. And on the other side, a focus on you receiving. And notice what that looks like. In an ideal world, those two would be equal, giving and receiving. And if they are, that's fantastic. If not, I'm going to ask you to take a breath and notice where in your body you are feeling resistance to allowing them to be equal. Just breathe and tune in, and the resistance in your body could feel like a belly ache, or it could feel like an ache under your shoulder blade, or maybe it's a pulsing in your temples. It can really be anywhere. So simply tune in and notice where that resistance is living in your body. And when you find it, imagine that you can have a conversation with this part of you. What does this part want to share with you? What does this part want to tell you about what the resistance is all about? Is it a fear that if you allow yourself to balance out receiving, that you're going to get greedy? It's a word I've used a couple of times in today's conversation. And if you get greedy, you're going to end up focusing on the money and not the clientele. Are you thinking of somebody else? Are you thinking of maybe somebody in society at large, or a personal experience you've had with a mentor or somebody else who really just felt like it was more about the money than it was about giving you what you needed? Are you afraid of turning into that kind of a person? Are you hearing your parents' words in some way, shape, or form, right? Some sort of generational issue that tells you that your character is in question if you are focused on money. And this is something that you may get information about right away. It may be that you need to take these questions and go someplace quiet and be, so that you can hear. It may be that these questions, the answers to these, what's the resistance all about, maybe something that you journal about, or it might be something that pops up later, right? When you're doing something like dishes or being in the shower or something mindless. So whether you have a clear answer or not, I want to do this, the last question, which is to now to connect with your soul, ask divine intelligence to create a conscious connection between you and your soul. And you can either do that through your soul languages, if you know those, or you can just simply ask for a connection. And ask what you get to let go of or activate to rebalance the scales. It might be releasing an old belief. It might be activating a new understanding, right? It's why I talk about in the soul-money relationship, understanding what soul knows about money. What if you were to activate what source knows about money? This is just another tangible resource of the divine. Or what if you were to let go of the fear of being greedy? Let go of the fear that money's going to take over your perspective instead of service. Simply allow your soul to share that information with you so that you, both you and your client, get to receive. All right. And so then just take a nice deep breath. And again, this might be information that comes to you easily and effortlessly right in this moment, or it may be something that you want to sit with for some time. Do a little bit of journaling, do a little bit of non-dominant handwriting about. Okay. All right. So let's say thank you to your soul. Let's say thank you to your body for giving you information. Let's say thank you to Source for offering up information and answers. And then just come on back and take a breath and allow everything that you remembered there to be easily and effortlessly integrated into your whole system. Beautiful. All right. So I am going to invite you to also take some time and to begin to think about one of the things that Patty Block shared with us today. And that was all about value. So if you were to make a list of all of the things that go into your specific value, is it the kind of history that you have with your family of origin? Is it something about an experience that you had that nobody else has had? Is it about your specific combination of education? You know, for example, I have a degree in psychobiology, occupational therapy, health and wellness counseling, labor and birth education. The list goes on and on. That is a pretty unique combination, and it provides me a very unique view on the world. Okay. So really take some time to create that list of non-tangible value that you are bringing that is truly the foundation of the value of whatever deliverable you have for your client. And as you allow yourself to expect money to flow in a new way, as you expect to receive, as you have a new understanding of your value, right? What does that do to your pricing? What does that do for you in terms of allowing money to flow? That real, tangible, hard cash, fill up your bank account kind of flow, right? And I will acknowledge that those are big questions. So please reach out to me if you have any, if you would like some support through all of that. I am delighted that you have spent this hour here with me and my guest, Patty Block. Again, I'm going to encourage you to reach out for her quiz. She has amazing information. And just as a reminder, if you are intrigued by this idea of the soul money relationship, I'm going to invite you to visit my website, which is jenniferbloom.com. Take the soul money relationship quiz, where you're going to learn all about how you are in your relationship with money and what can use some tweaking. There's some really wonderful exercises that come as a result, and you're going to get your first steps into having a much more conscious relationship with money. All right. So thank you again for tuning in. It's been a delight. Soul Wisdom Abundance is here on Transformation Talk Radio, the first and third Fridays of each month. And I look forward to joining you next time. And until then, everyone, prosperous blessings. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.